like a river, I am delivered and whole. Love flows, saving the sinner, Jesus the giver of hope.
Fantastic. You know, there's no other place to be than the house of God. And all strong Christians come to church every Sunday. That's what we do. In my family, we breathe, we eat, we sleep, we go to church on Sundays, and we drive cars. It's just part of the package. We don't think about it. We are just here every week. It's not a discussion in our family. Right now, I would love you to yell out on top of your lungs, I am a dreamer. You are a dreamer. And I'm just going to pray right now. So once you close your eyes, Holy Spirit, we just pray in this place that these words would be more than words, but that would be revelation. Father, we just pray that you would move in this place like a mighty rushing wind, a fresh river of living water, Holy Spirit, will come into this place. We are open, we are ready to receive, and we give you our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our everything this morning, that you would grow us and change us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Why don't you take your seat? So good. Don't forget, you can grab every Sunday message on Podbean. And except for last week, we had some internet issues, so that message went up on Friday, I think. But this message will be up today. And also, if you go to your Bible YouVersion app, you can also download today's notes. So you can go through them in your life groups during the week, which would be fantastic as well to do a little bit of a study. But I've called today's message, Write the Vision. Write the Vision. Who's enjoyed this month about the dreams, about our dreams, the land of the dreamer? And it's been fantastic. And I've been reading of late, and I recently come across something that took my attention, and it said this: God's existence is beyond, and our existence is in Him. This is why we are attracted to the impossible, to the realm that appears in our imagination and in our dreams. I like that. I like that. God is beyond. And when He created you and I, He created us with a dream that is beyond. It's beyond ourselves. And, you know, you have a dream. Do you remember when you were a child, or maybe when you first gave your heart to God? And you started to have a dream for your life that was just way beyond you. That's a God dream right there. Because with God, we can do it. Without God, it's just a dream. But with God, He turns our dreams into possibilities, and then He turns them into our answers, and then He turns it into our past, in which the next generation then dreams from and stands on. And that's how planet Earth moves forward. And, you know, our surroundings, our opportunities, and our family dynamics, many other things contribute to how these dreams flourish, if they flourish at all, or if they just sit dormant in our lives. Craig Rochelle says, everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. So today, I would like us to do what God asked Habakkuk to do. We're going to write our dreams down on that little piece of paper. So welcome to class this morning. But on your chair, you've got a piece of paper and a pen, if you could grab them out. And what I would love is, as the message goes on this morning, God's going to speak to some of you, and He's going to remind you of a dream that He gave you. And I would love you to write that dream down. And you know, maybe your dreams have lacked clarity, but why don't you start to pen, and even over this next week, pray into that and see clarity come on that piece of paper. There's a very simple reason why we write dreams down, and God asked Habakkuk to do this. It's because we forget. We forget. Life goes on, journey of life, and everything happens. We have kids, and we get married, and we forget in that journey of life what our dream was. So we write it down to remember. Let's fulfill the dreams that God has given us. You know, no matter your age, current situation, your finances, or your ability, God has a dream inside of you that is greater than you right now. And that's what makes it so exciting. Amen? All right. So today I believe that God is asking many of you to re-engage. To re-engage with your dreams. The dreams of your youth, the dreams that you had when you were younger, or the dreams that you've you've had even in your older age, but you've just let go to one side. God wants you to re-engage with these dreams He's placed inside of you. Some people, God wants you to bring the dreams back to Him. And what I mean by this is, for many of us, we feel like people are in the road. People are our obstacle. You know, the organization is in my road. My leadership is in my road. I've got dreams that I want to achieve, but these people and these things are in my road. But today, God is calling you to bring the dream back to Him, because He is the answer. He's the one that brings fulfillment to the dream, not the people and not the obstacles standing in front of you. In fact, God has placed them in front of you to make you stronger, to make you bigger, to grow your capacity, because without those people in your world, you will not be able to fulfill the dreams that He got. Why? Because they're beyond. They need greatness. They need you to grow and to expand. And so sometimes God puts people and things in our world, but bring those dreams back to Him and keep Him the focus of your dreams, not the people, and you'll see them come to pass. For others today, God is going to breathe upon you a dream that you have never known for your life. There's many people that give their lives to God or just live in this life, and they don't know the purpose, the dream for them. They don't know their existence and why they are here. Even as Christians, we know the gospel, we know the good news, and we walk in the power of God, but we don't have a dream for our lives. And this morning, if that's you, God is going to start today and over this week to breathe through His Spirit dreams into your soul. He's going to put dreams in your mind. He's going to allow your imagination to start to run a little bit wild. And can I tell you, if the imagination goes wild and it's a bit beyond you, that's a dream from God right there. If it lingers and stays in your heart and in your soul, that's a dream from God right there. So write that thing down and start speaking life into that. Amen. I believe that you and I can be everything that God has called us to be. You can be everything that God has called you to be. So if we could just open our Bibles right now to the book of Habakkuk. I'll give you 20 minutes to find it. If you flick two pages at a time, you're most likely to go past it. There's only three chapters, and it's the fifth last book of the Old Testament. But when you start reading this, first of all, we see that Habakkuk is simply a man of God. Just like you and I, he believes in God and he's a man of God. He sees what is around him, and he's influenced by what he sees. Just like you and I, at the workplace, at school, wherever we are, you know how the people around you influence you and you feel torn and you get on your knees and you start repenting, sorry, God. Did you know that you are influenced because that's how God created you? See, we try and not allow ourselves to be influenced, but the truth is we are meant to be moved by these situations like Habakkuk. And when we are moved, the key is, what do we do with that? Do we run towards or do we run to God? And Habakkuk in here runs to God. And this is what he says, chapter 1, verses 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Habakkuk saw, as a prophet, man of God, the burdens all around him. And then he was influenced. And verse 2 says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. I like that. I wonder in your world, what is it that you see around you? What's the need? What's the wickedness? What's the problems that you see around your world? What is it that is drawing people from their destinies that you see? They might not, but you are gifted with the eyes to see. The Bible says, he who has eyes, let him see. He who has ears, let him hear. In other words, people have eyes and don't see. People have ears and don't hear. But you do. But you do. That's because that's the call and the anointing of God on your life, that you will see and be influenced and be moved by your surroundings. And Habakkuk took that to God. Hence, we have that verse that we've just read. He saw violence and injustice, suffering and wickedness. When troubles are all around, isn't it hard for us to see anything else except for the problems? Especially when it's personal, like sick kids, maybe conversational issues in your relationships or in your marriage. Maybe there's sickness or the need of healing in your life or debt. Maybe your age is a problem to you. What we see will affect our journey. Our vision or our lack of vision becomes our story. Becomes our story. It's so important because where you remain looking is where you head. And I can testify to this. Trust me, a disclaimer, it's safe for you to go home today. I drove my car, not my motorbike. But when I was going for my license, my instructor had me going around orange cones and I had the motorbike on full lock. And he wanted me to do it with one hand at walking pace. So here I am going around these orange cones. And then he yells out to me, "Graham, don't look at the ground." And he pointed as he did it. And guess what I did? I looked straight at the ground. Guess where the motorbike went? Straight to the ground. Anyway, he gave me my license anyway. So he's a mighty man. I've prayed for him and blessed him. And it is safe. I can ride all right. But where you remain looking is where you're head. And that's just a very natural thing that we all understand that. But it's the exact same for our spiritual lives. Because where we remain focused in your marriage, no matter what it is, if you remain focused on the negative, you will tend to lean and move towards the negative in your world. I wonder what you're focused on in your life right now in this season. See, marriage, perhaps you've been looking at the negatives in your spouse for just too long. And all you see now is the bin not going out, the undies left on the floor, you know, the toilet roll paper hanging the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about, right? It is a thing, Simon. But all you see in that person is they just do things wrong because all you're looking at is them. Do you remember when you first got together, when you first got married, the vision that you had together for your lives? Do you remember looking at your wife and just seeing how beautiful, how amazing, how gifted, how talented she was, how much vision she had? I tell you, my wife had so much vision. She put this together in her dreams one night. Yeah, why don't we put our hands together for Pastor Mal? But do you remember the dream that you had together? It's still there. But let's shift our focus in our marriages from the negative and from the things that maybe have even hurt us in the past. And let's turn them back towards the good. Turn them back towards the beauty. Whatever you can find, start with the small and start focusing there. The small will turn into big and bigger and bigger. And then one day you'll be on the beach together dreaming about your future. Trust me, that day is coming for you. What about your career? Do you remember when it was you and God against the odds? When you first started that business plan and you're like, man, this is serious. I remember when Dad and I started Time Furniture and we were looking at our first shop, rent was 115 or around there a week. And I remember Dad just praying like, God, I don't know where this money's going to come. $100 a week for our first shop. But do you remember the day in your business or in your work world where it was you and God and you had those dreams and you were invincible? You knew that if God just remains with you, you can do this. What has happened? You know, what has happened? When was the last time that before you made a decision, you went to the prayer closet and you started to pray for wisdom, for the Holy Spirit's guidance, declaring, Lord, you said that you prepare the way before me, that you prepare a table amidst my enemies in the war, in the battle, and I'm against all the odds. But God, if you just prepare my path, I will walk it. Do you remember the last time that prayer? Let me tell you, that dream can come alive if you just ask God again to breathe. If you say, Holy Spirit, breathe upon the dream that you placed in me. And do this with God, you will see those dreams fulfilled again. Amen. What about surviving life? Perhaps here today, your grandparent, and your day has come, your day has gone, and your day is just, it's gone. Like, it's, can't even see that thing anymore. And now there's grandkids, every week, every day. You look after the grandkids. And then you're starting to look after the grandkids, grandkids. Okay, I get it, all right? My mom looks after my kids, I'm sure, about five times a week, all right? But this is the thing, is you once had a dream. And the day does not go with age. The day does not go with age of the dream being fulfilled. The day when the dreams stop being fulfilled is when you stop crying out to God on your knees to fulfill the dream through you. You know, the Bible is littered full of stories where the first generation does not fulfill the dream. But it's by us keeping the dream alive that the next generation will see the dream fulfilled. Do we remember the promised land in the Bible? You know, and so for you, it's crucial that we do not let the dreams go dormant in our lives, but we continue to pray, we continue to speak, we continue to declare the dreams that God has placed in you. Because even if you don't get the hours and the days to fulfill that dream, by you keeping alive, somebody else is going to come and we'll see that dream prosper. And who knows, we need the dreams to prosper on planet Earth. Amen. You know, the good news is, if you let God, through His Spirit, He'll breathe life into your dreams again. You know, why don't we do and pray what King David prayed to God after circumstances in his life were clouding his vision. He prayed, God, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. In other words, this is what he said. God, restore the dream. Restore the vision, the revelation, the hope. From when I first met you, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So here we have in the story of Habakkuk, he's seen everything around his world, and this is what God now says to him in chapter 2. Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. I love that. I love that. You might not be the one that gets the opportunity to run, but if you write it down, make it clear, one day somebody is going to read. And when they do, the Spirit of God is going to move in them and they will run with passion on the dream that God once gave you. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. It will not tarry. You know, the word vision here, using this verse, is kozone. And it means a dream, a revelation, or a vision. A dream, a revelation, or a vision. So why did God ask Habakkuk? Why is he asking you and I to write our dreams and visions down today? It's simple, because we forget. We forget. You know, life happens and we don't think much about our dreams anymore. But God is saying today, don't forget what I placed in you, because God has a plan to prosper you. You know, when vision is left alone, it becomes longing. When vision in our life is left alone, it becomes longing. Longing for that something. Longing for that God to move in us. Longing for that destiny, that feeling of completion, that feeling of purpose, the feeling of contentment and satisfaction and usefulness is in our dreams. The seeds are planted within the dreams. So don't be left longing today. Take the chance again on yourself. Take the chance on your spouse. Take the chance on your business. And take the chance to dream again. You know, when the devil tries to hold you back, you can go to the fridge or in your drawer in your bedside table and grab out that piece of paper today. And you can pull it out and you can read it. And you can go, yeah, there is purpose to my life. There is a dream that God placed in me. And I will not let this go. Don't let the devil steal the dream from you. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered or prepared by the Lord. And God delights in your way. Though you fall, you shall not be utterly cast down. You know, at times we feel destroyed, don't we? But the truth is you're not. You know, God will turn all things together for good for you. You know, we know the scripture, Acts 2, verse 17. Have you ever read the Bible and just stared? Am I the only one that just stares at my Bible sometimes? You know, you're reading through and you look at a verse and you just start staring at that verse. Well, I was doing that recently with Acts 2:17. And I was just staring at it. I reckon a half an hour might have gone by. And I just start looking at the words and letting them just all get all jumbled up in my vision. And then I just go through the blue letter Bible and I start checking out the meaning of every single word in that verse. And so I was reading it and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young man shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams." First of all, I look at this verse and I see that I will pour out my spirit. Church, who knows that we need the Holy Spirit? Amen. We need the Spirit of God. Church, we need the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit of power, of authority, of conviction. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. We don't need to know about the Spirit of God. We don't need to read the Spirit of God. We don't need to hear stories of miracles and healing and wonders and power. We need to know the Spirit of God in our lives. The Church of God needs to know the Spirit of God. In our lives, in our church, in our community, we need to know the power, the authority that he gives you, the counsel that he gives you, the wisdom that he gives you, the person who he is, of emotions and feelings and love and power. He gives us a sound mind. He gives us understanding. He gives us revelation. He helps us feel blessed and walk through our day. Without him, the Christian life is impossible. Church, we need the Spirit of God, because once we have an outpouring of the Spirit of God, we will see visions and dreams will come. You know, the word, you know, where it says a young man will see vision, the word young is bakor, and it contains a young man of mature age. It's not bound by age, but rather a person willing to do the work and willing to see the vision, the outworking of a dream. The word vision, it involves a plan to something. It's like a plan towards the dream. And where it says old man will dream dreams, the word old is zaken, and it refers to authority, to position, and to rank, not so much age. I like that. And dream gives direction where we are heading. It inspires the people. So a thought I had while staring at this verse was, if the old, the fathers, the mothers, the leaders, the bosses, the pastors stop dreaming, then the young have nothing to attach a vision to. And if the young and the fit don't place vision to the dreams, then the dreamers dream in vain. How powerful. We need each other. We need each other. We are all have a part to play. We are the family of God. Our lives are not just for ourselves, and they're not just for our families. Your life is so, so important that everyone around you needs you. We all need you. We need to dream big and not be ashamed of it. Amen. If you've got a big dream for your business, if you've got a big dream for your house and your family, if you've got a big dream to prosper and to walk around with money, to be able to shed it out and double and triple your tithes and your offerings, you don't even want those words to mean anything anymore because you just give so much above and beyond your time, your treasures, your talents. If you have a dream to be an actor, if you have a dream to be a singer or a soloist, if you have a dream to share the gospel, let's not be ashamed, because that dream is from God. No matter how big and how crazy it is, let's not be ashamed, but let's hold on to it, because that is a mighty dream of God. Do you believe me? Are you with it? Could we have the worship team come up? You know, dreamers are called to keep the dream alive. So perhaps you see thousands coming to Jesus. Keep sharing the dream and working towards it. Perhaps you see your business massive. Well, don't stop speaking it out and planting it into the hearts and the mind of your staff and workers. Perhaps you dream something that whenever you tell somebody, they just don't understand. Well, keep the dream alive, because maybe you're the next Walt Disney. Maybe you're like me, and every day you drive home in the driveway and you have a dream to see a 1934 Ford sitting in the driveway in pastel blue. Keep the dream alive, because every day I see it in my carport. You know, you may feel old, but keep declaring the dream you had. You are motivating others to dream as well. You may feel like you have nothing to offer, but that's certainly not true, because God wants to remind you of a dream. Ask Him to show you again. You may be looking at the end of your marriage, but God wants to revitalize it with a dream. Allow Him to come amongst your relationship and show you your future together and place a dream inside of you. You may get knocked whenever you share your dream to others, but you need to know something. God gave you the dream and not them, because He knows that you can contain it, that you can hold on to it, and you will run with it. You know, for some today, I believe God has given you strategy during this message. God is showing some the next stage of your dreaming. Perhaps God is stirring you or overwhelming you with desire and passions right now. God is lighting fire inside of some of you, because God has a dream for your life. You know, just in finishing, when I was at my last church, I was asked to run the music for our youth conferences. And if you know of the ACC or AOG world, this is a bit like Youth Alive in the C3 world. And we're having about 700 kids come. A lot of them were from the community, so not saved. And here I am, big show, big budget, lots of lights, is all that. And I'm leading this music team to open up the night. You know, we would do a massive opening, and this would go over 2 nights, 3 days. Anyway, we're leading up to the first one of these. I did it for 5 years. And I had nothing. We've done all the rehearsals. It's the day of the event, and I had nothing to inspire the team. And I remember just taking myself aside, and just we did our last dress rehearsal on the day, and I knew I needed to pray. So I took myself aside when everyone went out and had lunch and celebrated. I was in my room praying on my knees. I said to God, "Got nothing. Give me a dream. Give me a vision." And after about half an hour of praying, my imagination just went nuts. It was awesome. And I started imagining things that were not realistic. I started imagining things that were, "Don't worry about the tree, it'll be there later." I started imagining things that were beyond me. Anyway, I didn't have the authority to do it, but the next year came around and pretty much the same thing happened. I had nothing again, and I'm just going before God, "God, give me something." And He did. And I went up to my youth leader and I said, "Andrew, I've got these crazy dreams that come to me every year, but they seem to come just before the event. Do I have permission to run with them?" And he said, "Sure, Gray." He was an amazing leader, and he gave me that permission. So anyway, here we are, 700 people, a lot of them unsaved. We do 2 praise songs, the host comes up, and then we're about to do 2 worship songs, and the band is backstage. And I walked up to Ben, my mate, and I said, "Ben, I can just see a sea of people being touched by the power of God. But I see you walking out leading." And he goes, "Sure, Gray, what song do you want me to do?" And I said, "No song. I want you to go out there and free worship." And he had that much faith in me. He was a crazy guy. He placed that much faith in me. He walked out there. Just imagine 700 right up to the front. He walked out. We were all on in-ears backstage so we can hear everything. Played in the key of E. And he just started to sing anything, worshiping. About 5 minutes went by. And I finally released the team and we came out. And we just joined in, and all I could hear in my ears was a sea of unsaved kids crying and calling out to God. You see, when you have a vision and your strength is in God and not in man, and you're willing to take a step, God will do miracles through you. That night, lives were changed. Lives were changed. And you know, that's not to boast in me, but it's to boast in God, because God gives us dreams that are beyond. They're beyond you. And all He asks His church is to trust in Him, is to lean on Him beyond our understanding. He's our safe place. The Bible says He's our hiding place. And that's why we get on the wings of eagles and we fly. The Spirit of God is our eagle, church. And He wants to fly you to a new destination. He wants to take you somewhere that is higher, that is above, that only a man or a woman of God can see up there, because you're on the wings of eagles. If we could all stand this morning. You know, I know it's different for every one of us. That was just the way God moved and shaped my life in that moment. But we need to be refreshed by the Spirit of God, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit to refresh us. We need to allow our minds, the mind of our heart. You might not be a visionary, so to speak. You might not see in pictures, but the mind of your heart, allow God to just let it wander and see the possibilities that are in Him. See the possibilities that it's not what you can do, but it's in the Spirit. And then we need to write it down this week and make it plain to see so we never forget. So right now I've asked the worship team if they will just worship this morning. And all we're going to do, church, is open our hearts, open our eyes, and allow ourselves to see. So if you'd just like to close your eyes, your physical eyes, and open your spiritual eyes right now, let's allow the Spirit of God to breathe. To breathe dreams, vision, understanding, wisdom, insight, revelation. Shababa, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, open the floodgates of heaven. Open the floodgates of heaven this morning. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see, Lord. Give us eyes to see, Lord God, and ears to hear. Let our spirit man dream this morning, Lord God. Plant inside of us visions and dreams and understanding and revelation, Lord God. Give us boldness, Holy Spirit. Boldness, Holy Spirit. Father, help us give ourselves permission this morning to let our hearts and our minds run wild. Shababa, Holy Spirit, fill this house. Fill this house with your presence. Holy Spirit,
there's no height, no depth, no river your love will see. There's no curse, no hurt that can separate our hearts from you.
You may be here this morning and you're struggling just to enter in. Can I tell you, close your eyes. Close your eyes in this place and allow the Spirit of God. Why don't we lift our hands across this building right now? I believe the Spirit of God is about to move right now. If you want a touch of the Holy Spirit, just start asking the Holy Spirit to move in your world. Come on. Let's start to ask the Holy Spirit, start to cry out. If you know how to pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you don't know yet what that means, right now the Spirit of God is going to pour on you with fire, and you're going to start speaking in a new language. You're going to start speaking in a language that you do not understand. But that is the power of God. Don't refuse it, but allow it, because that is the Holy Spirit planting dreams in you. Planting dreams, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We open our hearts. We open our hearts to you this morning. And the first step for you is knowing the God, the giver of dreams. The first step for you is giving your heart and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible teaches us, and he actually did, history proves, the man Jesus, the Son of God, he died on a cross for you. And when he died on that cross, he took your shame, took your burdens, he took your past, your sins, and he died and he shed his blood. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus washes us clean. And what that means is when you receive him as Lord and Savior, as God, you are washed clean. How good is that? You are washed clean of your past. You are washed clean of your past. Then when you give your life to God, we get to live from that cross with authority, with power, with dominion over the enemy and the works of the enemy. It doesn't mean life is easy, but it means that life is, you are able to have victory over the circumstances of life that might come against you. It means that you can have victory in your world. You can have a dream in your world that is empowered by God. He is for you. He is not against you. Amen. So if that's you this morning, you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you boldly just right now to lift your hand up across this place. Just lift your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to do anything weird with you. But I want you to lift your hand to acknowledge to yourself and to God that you're giving your life to him and you're going to walk with him. Thank you. I see your hand down there, man. Is there anybody else? I see your hand down the back. Is there anybody else? Just lift your hand boldly right now. Lift your hand boldly. Well, church, right now we're just going to say a prayer, welcoming that lady into the house of God. And I would love you to repeat these words after me. So why don't we do this as a whole church? And if that was you that lifted your hand, take this and own this as your prayer this morning. So church, let's pray. Lord God, I come to you and I give you my heart. I ask that you will wash me clean. And I thank you that today I am new. You are my God, my King, my saving grace. And I give you my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we put our hand together for this lady?